Chapter 4, Movement to Contact. This chapter discusses movement to contact, beginning with its general considerations. It then discusses organization, control measures, and conducting a movement to contact. It then discusses two variations of a movement to contact, search and attack and cordon and search. Lastly, it talks about transitioning from a movement to contact to another type of offensive or defensive operation. General considerations for a movement to contact. A movement to contact is a type of offensive operation designed to establish or regain contact to develop the situation. Units perform a movement to contact when the tactical situation is unclear or the enemy force succeeds in breaking contact with friendly forces. A properly executed movement to contact develops the situation and maintains the unit's freedom of action after establishing contact with the enemy. This is essential in maintaining the initiative and achieving a position of advantage. Movement to contact allows units to create conditions for subsequent operations. Once contact is made with an enemy force, the friendly force quickly transitions either to an attack, a hasty defense, or bypasses en route to their objective. An enemy force's use of terrain, operations security, and military deception operations can degrade the friendly force's situational understanding and require small tactical units to conduct movements to contact. A movement to contact employs purposeful and aggressive movement, decentralized control, and the hasty deployment of combined arms formations from the march. The fundamentals of a movement to contact are: focus all efforts on finding enemy forces. The initial contact force should be small, mobile, self-contained, and avoid becoming decisively engaged by the enemy's main body. Task organize the force and use movement formations and battle drills to deploy and attack rapidly in any direction. Keep subordinate forces within supporting distances to facilitate gaining and maintaining contact. Upon gaining contact, maintain that contact regardless of the course of action, COA, adopted. Close air support, air interdiction, and counter-air operations are essential to the success of large-scale movements to contact. Local air superiority or, at a minimum, air parity is vital to the operation's success. A movement to contact increases the odds of a unit executing a meeting engagement. A meeting engagement is a combat action that occurs when a moving force engages an enemy at an unexpected time and place. The enemy force encountered may be either stationary or moving. A meeting engagement does not require both forces to be surprised. The force making unexpected contact is the one conducting a meeting engagement. Such encounters often occur in small unit operations when reconnaissance has been ineffective. The force that reacts first to the unexpected contact generally gains an advantage over its enemy. A meeting engagement may also occur when opponents are aware of each other and both decide to attack to obtain a tactical advantage. Additionally, a meeting engagement may occur when one force attempts to deploy into a hasty defense while the other force attacks before its opponent can organize an effective defense. No matter how the force makes contact, seizing the initiative is the overriding imperative. Prompt execution of battle drills at platoon level and below and standard actions on contact for larger units can give that initiative to the friendly force. Organization of forces for a movement to contact. At a minimum, a movement to contact is organized with forward security forces, either a covering force or an advance guard, and a main body. The reserve, fires, engineer, and sustainment assets are included in the main body. Based on the mission variables, commanders may increase their unit security by resourcing an offensive covering force and an advance guard for each column, as well as flank and rear security. Initiating a movement to contact requires units to be out of contact with the enemy main body. However, units may have enough information to target enemy reconnaissance assets, uncommitted forces, reserves, or sustaining operations activities. Commanders normally designate forces, such as long-range artillery systems and fixed-wing aircraft, to engage known enemy elements within their assigned area. The forward security element is critical to the protection of the main body and enables units to make contact on their terms. Forward security forces. Units conducting a movement to contact can organize their security force as an advance guard force, a covering force, or both. This provides the main body with early warning, protects the movement of the main body, and develops the situation before committing the main body. A guard force is a force that contains sufficient combat power to defeat, cause the withdrawal of, or fix the lead elements of an enemy ground force before it can engage the main body with direct fire. A covering force is a self-contained force capable of operating independently of the main body, unlike a guard force, to conduct the cover task. This covering force accomplishes the same effect as a guard and reports directly to the establishing commander. Each element of the force synchronizes its actions with adjacent and supporting units, maintaining contact and coordination as prescribed in orders and unit SOPs. The lead elements of the main body maintain contact with the security force. The rear and flank security elements maintain contact with and orient on the main body's movement. These security forces prevent unnecessary delay in the movement and premature deployment of the main body as long as possible. Commanders may instruct the advance guard to eliminate small pockets of resistance bypassed by the covering force, if both are used. The conduct of the security forces in the movement to contact are the same as those for security operations. See Chapter 13 for additional information on security operations. Main body. A main body consists of forces not assigned to security duties. It normally includes the maneuver forces conducting the main effort once contact is made with the enemy, as well as fires, engineer, and sustainment assets to support the operation. The combat elements of the main body prepare to respond to enemy contact that the unit's security forces make. If the situation allows, commanders can assign a follow and support mission to a subordinate maneuver unit. This allows that subordinate unit to relieve security forces and perform tasks such as containing bypassed enemy forces, handling dislocated civilians, and clearing routes. Security forces can then continue their primary mission. Units frequently find that their main supply routes, MSRs, become extended as operations proceed. Aerial resupply may be necessary to support large-scale movement to contacts or to maintain the momentum of the main body. Combat trains containing fuel, ammunition, medical assets, and maintenance assets move with their supported battalion or company team. Fuel and ammunition stocks remain loaded on tactical vehicles in the combat train so they can quickly move when necessary. Battalion field trains move with a higher support echelon, such as the Brigade Support Battalion, in the main body of each BCT. Aviation units use forward arming and refuel points, known as FARPs, to reduce aircraft turnaround time. Reserve. Commanders designate a portion of the main body for use as the reserve. The mission variables determine the size of the reserve, and the more unknown the enemy situation, the larger the size of the reserve. On contact with enemy forces, a reserve provides flexibility to react to unforeseen circumstances and allows a unit to resume its movement. Common control measures for a movement to contact. Units use the minimal number and type of control measures possible in a movement to contact because of the uncertain enemy situation. These measures include designation of an assigned area with left, right, front, and rear boundaries, or a separate assigned area bounded by a continuous boundary in non-contiguous operations. Commanders further divide their assigned area into subordinate unit assigned areas to facilitate subordinate unit actions. A movement to contact usually starts from a LD at the time specified in the operation order. Commanders control a movement to contact by using phase lines, contact points, and checkpoints as required. They also control the depth of the movement to contact by using a LOA or a forward boundary. Commanders can designate one or more objectives to limit the extent of a movement to contact and orient the force. However, these are often terrain-oriented and used only to guide movement. Although a movement to contact may result in taking a terrain objective, the primary focus should be on gaining contact with enemy forces and developing the situation. If a unit has enough information to locate significant enemy forces, then it should plan an attack. Commanders use boundaries to separate the various organizational elements and clearly establish responsibilities between different organizations. They synchronize the movement to contact with control measures, battle drills, and formation discipline. Commanders designate a series of phase lines that can successively become the new rear boundary of the forward security elements as that force advances. Each security area rear boundary becomes the forward boundary of the main body and shifts as the security force moves forward. The rear boundary of the main body designates the limit of responsibility of the rear security element. This line also shifts as the main body moves forward. Units may use an axis of advance to control movement. However, there is the risk that their forces may not detect and may inadvertently bypass enemy forces outside the axis. Planning a movement to contact. Planning for a movement to contact requires units to balance competing requirements in the allocation of combat power. The first requirement is to determine an enemy force's location and intent. The second requirement is to execute security operations to protect the main body. The main body focuses its planning and preparation on the conduct of hasty attacks, bypassing forces, and hasty defenses. The plan must address actions anticipated by the unit based on available information and anticipated times and locations of meeting engagements. Commanders also task their forward security forces with conducting route reconnaissance of routes the main body traverses. Units seek to gain contact by using the smallest elements possible. These elements are normally ground or aerial units performing reconnaissance but may include UAS or other collection assets. Units may task organize their reconnaissance assets with additional combat power to allow them to develop the situation. The movement formation of the main body should also make initial contact with the smallest force possible. It should provide for efficient movement of the force and adequate reserves. Commanders choose to have all or part of the main body conduct an approach march as part of the movement to contact to provide efficiency and freedom of action to the main body. See Chapter 14 for additional information on troop movement. The frontage assigned to a unit in a movement to contact must allow it to apply sufficient combat power to maintain the momentum of the operation. Reducing the frontage normally gives a unit more combat power to develop the situation upon contact while maintaining the required momentum. The forward security force should have uncommitted forces available to develop the situation without requiring the deployment of the main body. The benefits of a wider frontage include increasing the likelihood of making contact with the enemy and reducing the potential of inadvertently bypassing enemy formations. Units primarily rely on fire's assets to weight the lead element's combat power, but they also provide the lead element with the additional combat enablers needed to accomplish the mission. Indirect fire systems support maneuver forces to get within direct fire range and engage enemy forces. The reconnaissance effort may proceed faster in a movement to contact than in a zone reconnaissance because the emphasis is on making contact with enemy forces. However, commanders must recognize that there is an increased risk in bypassing enemy units when increasing the speed of the reconnaissance effort. Based on mission variables, commanders clearly state bypass criteria. For example, an armored or striker BCT commander in an open desert environment could state that the bypass criteria is an enemy-mounted force smaller than a platoon. The BCT clears all enemy forces larger than a mounted platoon from that brigade's axis of advance. Any force that bypassed an enemy unit must maintain contact with it until handing it off to another friendly element, usually a force assigned a follow and support mission. The intelligence officer, assisted by engineer and air defense staff representatives, carefully analyzes the terrain, including air avenues of approach. At a minimum, the intelligence staff identifies the enemy force's most dangerous and most likely COA in the mission analysis portion during the MDMP. Because of the force's vulnerability, the intelligence officer must not underestimate enemy forces during a movement to contact. A thorough intelligence preparation of the battlefield, IPB process, a modified combined obstacle overlay that includes intervisibility overlays, threat courses of action, and event templates, enhances the force's security by indicating danger areas where the force is most likely to make contact with enemy forces. It also helps to determine movement times between phase lines and other locations. Potential danger areas are likely enemy defensive locations, engagement areas, observation posts, and obstacles. The FIRES system targets these areas. They become on-order priority targets placed into effect or canceled as the lead element can confirm or deny enemy force presence. The information collection annex of the movement to contact order must address coverage of these danger areas. If reconnaissance forces cannot clear these areas, more deliberate movement techniques are required. These areas and resource shortages should be identified during the MDMP process. Resources should be reallocated or maneuver adjusted based on the results of COA analysis. Commanders develop decision points to support changes in the force's movement technique or movement formation. Using human and technical means to validate decision points, commanders determine the acceptable degree of risk based on the mission. The commander's confidence in the products of the IPB process and the acceptable risk determine the unit's movement formation and scheme of maneuver. In a high-risk environment, it is usually better to increase the distance between forward elements and the main body than to slow the speed of advance. Higher headquarters execute supporting operations in support of their subordinates as part of a movement to contact. This occurs when the information regarding the enemy reserves and follow-on forces is available, but information regarding enemy forces in proximity to the friendly force is not available. As in any other type of operation, units plan to focus operations on finding enemy forces and then delaying, disrupting, or destroying each enemy force before it arrives in direct fire range. This allows maneuver forces to prepare to engage enemy units on their arrival. Commanders can opt not to designate a main effort until forces make contact with enemy forces, unless there is a specific reason to designate one. They retain resources under direct control to reinforce the main effort. Commanders may designate the main effort during the initial stages of a movement to contact because of the presence of a key piece of terrain or an avenue of approach. Preparing a movement to contact. The preparations for conducting a movement to contact are the same as those for an attack. The only difference is the focus on battle drills, since the location and disposition of the enemy is unknown. Executing a movement to contact. The commander of the forward security force chooses a movement formation, based on the mission variables, and makes contact with the smallest possible force while providing flexibility for maneuver. Whatever formation the unit chooses, it must be able to deploy appropriately once it determines an enemy force's location. The unit ensures that the route or axis of advance traveled by the main body is free of enemy forces. The main body may move continuously using traveling and traveling overwatch, or by bounds, using bounding overwatch. It moves by bounds when contact with an enemy force is expected and the terrain is favorable. The overall commander may position some indirect fire assets, such as a mortar platoon or artillery battery, and forward observers with the forward security force. These forward observers can help overwatch the forward security force movement, while indirect fires focus on suppressing enemy weapons, obscuring enemy observation posts, and screening friendly movement. Behind the forward security force, the main body advances over multiple parallel routes with numerous lateral branches to remain flexible and reduce the time needed to initiate maneuver. While it is preferred for a battalion to use multiple routes, battalions and smaller units can move on a singular route. In a movement to contact, the main body's march disposition must allow maximum flexibility for maneuvering during movement and when establishing contact with an enemy force. The main body keeps enough distance between itself and its forward security force to maintain flexibility for maneuver. This distance varies with the echelon of command, the terrain, and the availability of information about enemy forces. The main body may execute a tactical movement for all or part of the movement to contact to use the available road network efficiently or reduce the time needed to move from one location to another. Command posts and supply trains seek routes that allow them to remain responsive throughout an assigned area and occupy hasty positions as necessary. Fire support systems should focus on suppression missions to disrupt enemy forward security elements as they make contact, and focus on obscuration of enemy forces missions or screen exposed friendly forces when conducting a movement to contact. They schedule synchronized movements of fire support systems with the movement of the rest of the force. Fire support systems that cannot match the cross-country mobility of ground maneuver units may cause them to slow their rate of advance. If these units do not slow down, they run the risk of outrunning their fire support. Units synchronize the employment of close air support to prevent enemy forces from regaining balance while ground fire support assets are repositioning. The main body updates the high payoff target list during a movement to contact operation as necessary. Similar considerations apply to air and missile defense when enemy forces possess these capabilities. A unit conducting a movement to contact remains aware of the air and missile defense umbrella provided by radars, air defense systems, and the Joint Combat Air Patrol. The unit's tempo, momentum, tactical dispersal, and attention to electromagnetic emission control complicate an enemy force's ability to detect and target the main body prior to making contact. Once a friendly force makes contact and masses against detected enemy forces, it becomes vulnerable to strikes by enemy conventional weapons and weapons of mass destruction. A friendly force must mass effects rapidly in a meeting engagement and disperse again as soon as it overcomes resistance to avoid enemy counteractions. Movement should be as rapid as the terrain, the mobility of the force, and the enemy situation permits. Open terrain provides maneuver space on either side of the line of march and facilitates high-speed movement. It also allows for greater dispersal and usually permits more separation between forward security elements and the main body than restricted terrain allows. Units should never commit their main bodies to canalizing terrain before forward security elements have ensured the main bodies can maintain freedom of movement within that terrain. Enemy forces may have established fire support control measures that allow enemy forces to employ non-observed harassing and interdiction fires on friendly forces traversing these choke points. Units may shorten the distance between elements to decrease reaction time or deploy their force to prepare for contact as the enemy situation develops. At battalion and company echelons, a force moves along covered or concealed positions along routes using terrain to minimize its vulnerability to enemy weapons. Further, an overwatching force should cover the moving force. Regardless of the specific movement technique employed, subordinate elements need to provide mutual support and be knowledgeable of each other's sectors of fire. The moving force must attempt to cross any obstacles it encounters without loss of momentum by conducting hasty, in-stride breaches. Units use forward security forces in an attempt to seize intact bridges whenever possible. Lead security elements bypass or breach obstacles as quickly as possible to maintain the momentum of the movement. If lead security elements cannot overcome obstacles, commanders direct subsequent elements of the main body to breach the obstacle site. Following forces can also reduce obstacles and improve routes that hinder the unit's sustainment flow. Find the enemy. Units gain and maintain enemy contact to further shape operations for a movement to contact. All information collection assets focus on determining an enemy force's disposition and providing units with current intelligence and relevant combat information. This ensures that they can commit friendly forces under optimal conditions. Units use all available sources of combat information to find an enemy force's location and disposition. Corps and divisions leverage collection assets from organic, attached, and direct support units, special operations forces, and joint and multinational assets to gain contact with enemy forces. BCTs and their subordinate battalions use their organic reconnaissance assets to gain contact. This contact may be in any of 8 forms. Units use information collection systems to cue aerial and ground reconnaissance by their attached BCTs and combat aviation brigades. The enemy situation becomes clearer as the unit's forward security elements conduct actions on contact to develop the situation in accordance with their commander's intent and plan. By determining the strength, location, and disposition of enemy forces, these security elements allow units to focus the effects of the main body's combat power against the enemy main body. The overall force must remain flexible to exploit both intelligence and combat information. The security force should not allow an enemy force to break contact unless it receives an order from the friendly force commander. When a strong covering force has not preceded the advance guard should seize terrain that offers essential observation. The unit's security force often gains a tactical advantage over an enemy force by using tempo and initiative to conduct actions on contact, allowing it to gain and maintain contact without becoming decisively engaged. Decisively engaged is when a fully committed force or unit cannot maneuver or extricate itself. Once the lead elements of a force conducting a movement to contact encounter an enemy force, they conduct actions on contact. The unit treats obstacles like any other form of enemy contact, since it assumes that the enemy force has covered these obstacles by fire. The unit carries out actions on contact regardless of whether the enemy force has detected its presence. How quickly the unit develops the situation is directly related to its security. This tempo is directly related to the unit's previous training to execute SOPs and drills. Fix the enemy. On contact, the main body brings overwhelming fires on enemy forces to prevent the enemy forces from conducting either a spoiling attack, organizing a coherent defense, or withdrawing. With the enemy fixed, the security force maneuvers quickly to find gaps in the enemy force's defenses. Units use information collection assets to gain as much information as possible about the enemy force's dispositions, strengths, capabilities, and intentions. As more intelligence becomes available, the main body attacks to destroy the enemy. The higher headquarters of the unit conducting the movement to contact conducts counter-mobility operations to prevent enemy reserves from moving to counter the unit's actions. The security force does not allow enemy security and main body forces to maneuver against the friendly main body. The security force's organization, size, and combat power are major factors that determine the size of the enemy force it can defeat or fix in place without deploying the main body. Units use aerial maneuver and fire support assets to fix enemy forces in their current positions by directly attacking enemy maneuver elements and command and control systems and emplacing situational obstacles. The typical priorities are to attack enemy forces in contact, enemy C2 and fire direction control facilities, enemy fire support assets, moving enemy forces not yet in contact, such as follow-on forces and reserves. Attack priorities vary with mission variables. Attack rotary and fixed-wing aircraft can engage enemy forces throughout the depth of an assigned area, if the suppression of enemy air defenses can reduce the risk to aircraft to an acceptable degree. The techniques units employ to fix enemy forces when both forces are moving differ from those employed when enemy forces are stationary during a meeting engagement. In both situations, when the security force cannot overrun enemy forces by conducting a hasty frontal attack, units deploy a portion of their main body. When this occurs, the unit transitions to an attack and is no longer conducting a movement to contact. Finish the enemy. If possible, friendly security forces overwhelm enemy security forces by executing a frontal attack to make contact with the enemy main body. If this is not possible, friendly security forces fix enemy security forces and the main body conducts a penetration or envelopment of the enemy security forces. This makes the main body the main effort of the movement to contact and is a key reason why units ensure that their main bodies avoid enemy engagement until a time and place of their choosing. They maneuver their main bodies at a tempo the enemy force cannot match. They do this to overwhelm the enemy before it can react effectively or reinforce. Units attempt to defeat the enemy security force in detail while still maintaining the momentum of the advance until the unit makes contact with the enemy main body. If the main body initiates a frontal attack, it deploys rapidly to the vicinity of the line of contact. Commanders of maneuvering units coordinate forward passage through friendly forces in contact as required. The intent is to deliver the assault before the enemy force can deploy or reinforce its engaged forces. Commanders may order an attack from a march column. They can also wait to attack until they can deploy forward the bulk of their main body. They avoid piecemeal commitment except when rapid action is essential. Their units have combat superiority and can maintain that superiority throughout their attacks or when the terrain forces that COA. Units attempting an envelopment focus on attacking the enemy force's flanks and rear before the enemy force can prepare to counter these actions.
They use security forces to fix enemy forces while their main bodies maneuver to look for an assailable flank. Alternatively, they use their main body to fix the enemy force while their reserve finds an assailable flank. If the enemy force is not rapidly defeated, commanders have three options: bypass, transition to a deliberate attack, or conduct a defense. In all cases, they make every effort to retain the initiative by conducting violent and resolute attacks and preventing enemy forces from countering them. Simultaneously, units maintain momentum by synchronizing the actions of friendly maneuver, functional and multifunctional support, and sustainment elements. Follow through. After a successful attack, friendly forces either continue movement to their final objective or they conduct a hasty defense to consolidate and reorganize before continuing. If the location of the enemy main body is still unclear and friendly forces have not reached their limit of advance, the unit resumes their movement to contact. Variations for a movement to contact. Movement to contact has two variations: search and attack, and cordon and search. Search and attack. Search and attack is a variation of a movement to contact where a friendly force conducts coordinated attacks to defeat a distributed enemy force. Units employ this variation of a movement to contact when enemy forces are operating as small dispersed elements and the units cannot target them by any methods other than a physical search. Units may also use a search and attack when the task is to deny enemy forces the ability to move within a given area. Primarily, dismounted infantry forces conduct a search and attack. Armored, mechanized, and striker-equipped forces often support dismounted infantry performing this task. A search and attack often occurs during the conduct of irregular warfare. However, it may also be necessary when conducting non-contiguous operations during combat operations and consolidating gains. All echelons can conduct search and attack operations. However, a division rarely conducts search and attack operations simultaneously throughout its assigned area. BCTs, maneuver battalions, and companies normally conduct search and attack operations. BCTs assist their subordinate maneuver battalions conducting a search and attack by ensuring the availability of indirect fires and other support. Organization of forces for a search and attack. Commanders task organize into reconnaissance, fixing, and finishing forces, each with a specific task and purpose. Alternatively, all units can be involved in the reconnaissance effort with individual subordinate elements performing the fixing and finishing functions based on the situation. Commanders base the size of their reconnaissance forces on available information about the size of enemy forces in their assigned areas, and the size of these assigned areas in terms of the geography and the size of the civilian population. The more uncertainty that exists within a situation, the larger the reconnaissance force. A reconnaissance force typically consists of scout, infantry, aviation, and electromagnetic warfare assets. A fixing force must have enough combat power to isolate enemy forces once the reconnaissance force finds them. The finishing force is normally the main body of that echelon. It must have enough combat power to defeat the enemy forces expected within its assigned area. Commanders can direct subordinate units to retain their own finishing force, or they can retain direct control of the finishing force. Units may also rotate subordinate elements through the reconnaissance, fixing, and finishing roles. However, rotating roles may require a change in task organization and additional time for training and rehearsal. Control measures for a search and attack. Units establish control measures that allow decentralized action and small unit initiative to the greatest extent possible. Chapter 4 of the print version of FM3-90 depicts the minimum control measures for a search and attack, which include an assigned area, target reference points, TRPs, objectives, checkpoints, and contact points. The use of target reference points facilitates responsive fire support upon making contact with enemy forces. They use objectives and checkpoints to guide the movement of subordinate elements. They use other control measures, such as phase lines and named areas of interest, NAIs, as necessary. Appendix A discusses these common control measures. Planning a search and attack. Units conduct a search and attack for one or more of the following purposes: destroy enemy forces, render enemy forces in an assigned area combat ineffective; deny the area, prevent enemy forces from operating unhindered in a given area, for example, in any area that the enemy is using for a base camp or for logistic support. Protect the force. Prevent enemy forces from massing to disrupt or destroy friendly military or civilian operations, equipment, property, and facilities. Collect information. Gain information about enemy forces and the terrain to confirm the enemy COA predicted by the IPB process. The products of the IPB process are critical to conducting a search and attack. They focus the force's reconnaissance efforts on likely enemy locations. The search and attack plan places the finishing force as the main effort where it can best maneuver to destroy enemy forces or essential facilities once located by reconnaissance assets. Typically, the finishing force occupies a central location in an assigned area. However, the terrain may allow units to position their finishing forces outside search and attack areas. Commanders weight their main effort by using priority of fires and assigning priorities of support to available combat enablers, such as engineer elements and helicopter lift support. Units establish control measures as necessary to consolidate and reorganize and concentrate the combat power of the force before the attack. Once a reconnaissance force locates an enemy force, fixing and finishing forces can destroy it. Units also develop contingency plans in the event of the compromise of their reconnaissance force. Fire support plans must provide flexible and rapidly delivered fires to achieve their commander's desired effects throughout an assigned area. Units position fire support assets so they can support subordinate elements throughout their assigned areas. They must establish procedures for rapidly clearing fires. To clear fires rapidly, command posts and small unit commanders track and report the locations of all subordinate elements. Because of the uncertain enemy situation, units assign clear fire support relationships. Executing a search and attack. Each subordinate element operating in its own assigned area searches for and attacks enemy forces within its capability. Units may enter an assigned area by infiltrating as an entire unit and then splitting out, or by infiltrating as smaller units via ground, air, or water. Units should use previously established control measures and communications means between any closing elements to prevent fratricide and friendly fire incidents. The reconnaissance force conducts an area reconnaissance to reconnoiter identified named areas of interests. Once the reconnaissance force finds enemy forces, the fixing force develops the situation and executes one of two options based on the commander's guidance and the mission variables. The first option is to block identified routes that the detected enemy forces can use to escape or employ reinforcements. The fixing force maintains contact with enemy forces and positions to isolate and fix enemy forces before the finishing force attacks. The second option is to conduct an attack to fix enemy forces in their current positions until the finishing force arrives. The fixing force attacks if it meets the commander's intent and if it can generate sufficient combat power against detected enemy forces. Units may need to position the fixing force before the reconnaissance force enters an assigned area, depending on the enemy force's mobility and the probability of the compromise of the reconnaissance force. BCTs and possibly battalions may establish fire support bases to provide fire support coverage throughout an assigned area during search and attack operations in complex terrain. These positions should be mutually supporting and prepared for all-around defense. Fire support bases are also located in positions that facilitate aerial resupply. The development of these positions depends on the mission variables because their establishment requires diverting combat power to protect assets in these fire support bases. If conditions are not right to use the finishing force or main body to attack detected enemy forces, the reconnaissance or the fixing force can continue to conduct reconnaissance and surveillance activities to develop the situation further. Whenever this occurs, the force maintaining surveillance must be careful to avoid detection and possible enemy ambushes. The finishing force or main body may move behind the reconnaissance and fixing forces, or it may locate at a pickup zone and conduct air assault movement into a landing zone near enemy forces once enemy forces are located. The finishing force or main body must be responsive enough to engage enemy forces before they can break contact with the reconnaissance force or the fixing force. The echelon intelligence officer provides the commander with an estimate of the time it takes enemy forces to displace from their locations. The commander provides additional mobility assets so the finishing force or main body can respond within that time frame. Units use their finishing force or main body to destroy detected and fixed enemy forces during a search and attack by conducting hasty or deliberate attacks. One unit maneuvers to block enemy escape routes while another unit conducts the attack, or units employ indirect fire or close air support to destroy enemy forces. Units may have the finishing force or main body establish area ambushes and use the reconnaissance and fixing forces to drive enemy forces into the ambushes. Cordon and search. The second variation to conduct a movement to contact is cordon and search. Cordon and search is a variation of movement to contact where a friendly force isolates and searches a target area. Typically, units execute cordon and searches to capture or destroy possible enemy forces and contraband. Cordon and search operations take place throughout the range of military operations. Generally, cordon and search are conducted during stability operations or situations where the likelihood of large-scale organized violence is unlikely. Units conducting a cordon and search organize their subordinate units into four elements: command, security, search or assault, and support. The security element must be large enough to establish both an inner and an outer cordon around the target area of the search. In that regard, cordon and search operations are similar to encirclements. Maneuver battalions and lower echelons normally conduct cordons and searches. Cordon and search operations occur in five phases: reconnaissance, movement to the objective, cordon establishment, search, and retrograde. These phases are descriptive of a cordon and search and are not prescriptive. The reconnaissance phase is initiated upon receipt of mission and continues throughout the planning process. Planners conduct intelligence preparation of the battlefield, develop a scheme of maneuver, and refine the plan. The friendly force performs the necessary reconnaissance to gain information and complete the plan. A complete order is issued, allowing time for leaders to develop subordinate plans and conduct rehearsals. The planning phase ends when rehearsals, pre-combat checks, and inspections are complete and the unit crosses the LD. Movement to the objective area occurs as a single unit or in separate serials sequenced along differing routes. Leaders consider terrain and threat assessments to determine appropriate movement formations and techniques. The movement phase ends when the security element reaches its release point and begins establishing the cordon. Establishing a cordon entails emplacing an outer and inner cordon simultaneously or sequentially. The cordon is considered established when the objective area is isolated and it continues until the force commences retrograde. Leaders consider allocating priority of intelligence, reconnaissance, surveillance, fires, and non-lethal assets to the cordon element once the cordon is established. Clearing the objective area and searching target areas occur once the objective area is isolated. Forces may undertake additional activity after the objective is clear, including tactical questioning, site exploitation, providing medical attention to local nationals, communicating with local leaders, and conducting other influence activities. The amount of time spent at an objective area depends on factors including the size of the objective, the number of adversaries to vet, the amount of material of likely intelligence value present, the presence of explosive hazards, and the size and augmentation of the search element. The enemy may force cordon and search operations, or a unit may execute them voluntarily. A retrograde is a transitional operation. It is not conducted in isolation. Stay-behind reconnaissance forces may be employed to observe activity for a period after the cordon and search force departs the objective area. Retrograde is not complete until all personnel, including stay-behind forces, arrive in the designated assembly area. Retrograde is the most vulnerable phase of cordon and search operations, possibly rife with personnel accountability issues and interdiction by enemy forces along anticipated retrograde routes. Leaders strongly consider using intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance and joint fires assets to support the retrograde. Refer to Chapter 11 for additional information on retrograde operations. Principles for a cordon and search. The principles of cordon and search are comprehensive and fundamental rules to guide battalions. The principles are not a checklist. While the commander considers these principles, they do not apply in the same way to every situation. Instead, the principles summarize characteristics of successful cordon and search operations. For the unit, the value in these principles lies in analyzing a pending operation while synchronizing efforts and determining if or when to deviate from the principles based on the current situation. The 9 principles of cordon and search are speed, surprise, isolation, proper target identification, timeliness, accountability, minimization of collateral damage, detailed search, legitimacy. Methods of cordon and search. Units have 2 methods for conducting a cordon and search, cordon and knock and cordon and enter. The primary difference in methods is the level of force required to gain access to the target. In a cordon and knock, the search element requests or demands access to the target. In a cordon and enter, the search element accesses the target by force. Regardless of the method, search elements must be prepared to escalate force appropriately to gain access to the target. Leaders consider the terminal effects of fires and ensure friendly location awareness to prevent fratricide and limit collateral damage to the greatest extent possible. Control measures for cordon and search. Control measures useful for conducting cordon and search include assembly area, line of departure, checkpoints, contact points, objectives, rally points, phase lines, routes, restricted fire line. Planning a cordon and search. During planning, includes preparation, and reconnaissance, mission analysis is conducted through either the MDMP or troop leading procedures process, focusing on the task and purpose, intelligence preparation of the battlefield, identification of target and target areas, and tentative scheme of maneuver. Detailed direct fire plans serve as risk mitigation measures to prevent fratricide between clearing elements and the cordon. Support forces external to the battalion are task organized and warning orders are issued. As planning serves to focus the information collection effort by identifying what to look for and where to look for it, reconnaissance helps to refine the planning process by answering through collection, information requirements, and priority intelligence requirements. Although the plan is continually updated with reconnaissance and surveillance throughout the operation, this phase ends with the unit issuing the completed order, conducting final rehearsals and inspections, and crossing the LD. Preparing a cordon and search. The level of rehearsal and extent of participation depend upon the time available and the physical location of participants. Rehearsals may be full or reduced force. Multiple rehearsal types and techniques may be used in preparation for a mission. For example, confirmation briefs and back briefs may be required following the issuance of an operation order, and a map rehearsal may be conducted via remote communications equipment or in person once subordinate elements have completed their plans. Rehearsals should address non-mission-specific tasks and mission-specific execution details and be more than a mere discussion of what is supposed to happen. Effective rehearsals test subordinate understanding of key activities, including the spatial relationships and timing of key actions, contingencies, communication, and purpose, priorities, allocation, and resourcing of support. Leaders normally issue rehearsal guidance via published warning orders. Non-mission-specific task rehearsals might include battle drills and other standard operating procedures, such as assaulting a building or reacting to enemy contact, breaching obstacles and doorways, search techniques such as individual, vehicle, and room, detainee and captured materiel handling and processing, tactical call-out. Mission-specific execution activity rehearsals might include emplacing inner and outer cordons, target area clearance, retrograde from the objective area. Executing a cordon and search. The execution of the cordon may be executed sequentially or simultaneously using single or multi-directional ingress routes. The methods may be used alone or combined. For example, the outer cordon position may be occupied sequentially via a single ingress route followed by a sequential occupation of the inner cordon positions via a single ingress route. The search element prepares to move to the target area during cordon emplacement. The search and assault element movement to the target area may be simultaneous, nearly simultaneous, or sequential in relation to the cordon emplacement. When combined, the outer cordon positions may be occupied simultaneously from multi-directional ingress routes, followed by a sequential occupation of the inner cordon positions via a single ingress route. Considerations for each cordon and search technique follow. In a sequential occupation, the security element successively occupies inner and outer cordon positions. This occupation allows for ease of control and simplicity of maneuver, but accepts the risk that an alert adversary may have an opportunity to react or escape the target area. In a simultaneous occupation, the security element occupies cordon positions simultaneously or near simultaneously. This occupation achieves tactical surprise in the objective and target areas and reduces the opportunity for an adversary to react or escape the target area. Using a single ingress route, the cordon and search force moves to the objective area in a column along a single route or from a single landing zone until elements reach designated release points. Using a single ingress route maximizes control, but increases the time required to isolate the objective area and offers an adversary the opportunity to more easily delay joint force access to the objective area. Using multi-directional ingress routes, the cordon and search force moves to the objective area from multiple directions using multiple routes or landing zones. Using multi-directional ingress routes enables simultaneous occupation of outer cordon positions and rapid isolation of the objective area. However, this technique requires detailed time and distance analysis to synchronize cordon and search force arrival in the objective area, increases C2 complexity, and dilutes concentration of combat power during movement to the objective area. Transitions. If the enemy force is not rapidly defeated, commanders have three options: bypass, transition to a deliberate attack, or conducted defense. In all cases, commanders make every effort to retain the initiative by conducting violent and resolute attacks and preventing enemy forces from countering them. Simultaneously, units maintain momentum by synchronizing the actions of friendly maneuver, functional and multifunctional support, and sustainment elements. Transition to an attack. The decision to conduct a hasty or deliberate operation is based on the commander's current knowledge of the enemy situation and assessment of whether the assets available, to include time, and the means to coordinate and synchronize those assets are adequate to accomplish the mission. If assets and means are lacking, the unit takes additional time to plan and prepare for the operation or bring additional forces to bear on the problem. The commander makes that choice in an environment of uncertainty, which always entails some risk. Ongoing improvements in command and control systems continue to assist in the development of a common operational picture of friendly and enemy forces while facilitating decision-making and communicating decisions to friendly forces. Transition to a defense. Some transitions require friendly forces to transition into a defense. If the movement to contact does not defeat the enemy force or the friendly force is lost, then friendly forces get a different momentum. This changed momentum may dictate the transition into the defense. Friendly forces may lose their momentum and transition from a movement to contact to a defense for several reasons. The size, location, and composition of the enemy is significantly different than what was templated, and the friendly force risks destruction if they continue the movement to contact. If directed by their higher headquarters during planning, for example, if the unit was directed to conduct a movement to contact to a specified phase line and arrive without meeting the enemy, then a hasty defense is needed to hold the terrain gained until directed to move on. Friendly forces outrun their logistics and risk culmination. Friendly combat losses prevent the unit from continuing to advance. The loss of external assets within range to support the continued advance of friendly forces. If friendly forces lose momentum, the commander decides when to transition to a defense. The commander must utilize all information available, especially combat power against combat ratios, to make this decision. See Part 3 for execution of the defense.